Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Joining us now is Tyler Donahue, 247 Sports. Tyler, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hey, good afternoon, Steve. I hope this year's off to a great start for you.
Yeah, I hope it is for you as well. Thank you. So, absolutely. For those making their plans, this is what you got. You got at Purdue, right? It's one of the 10 straight years Penn State opens the Big Ten on the road. Not that anybody noticed. Ohio University, then go to Jordan-Hare, Auburn, Central Michigan, which looked good against Washington State. Then this is where the changes come in. October 1st, well, now, instead of being Ohio State, will now be Northwestern here. And then they have a bye week instead of playing Michigan. Then the game against Michigan goes back to October 15th in Ann Arbor. Minnesota, instead of being in November, is now going to be October 22nd here, followed by Ohio State October 29th here. Remarkably, Indiana still stays on November 5th. How that happened, I never know. November 12th, Maryland here, stayed in the same spot, and then they flip-flopped Rutgers and Michigan State. Well, Michigan State was going to be in October. They're now to the end on Thanksgiving weekend, and at Rutgers is November 19th.
Yeah, you get all that? I mean, there's a lot going on, a lot of moving parts. I think they actually have reverted back on the GoPSU website to 2022 schedule, but we got an early glimpse at it, and I know you have as well. So whenever this thing does go official, it pretty dramatically shakes up October. And then you've got Michigan State to cap off the season, which you weren't expecting, and that's the second straight season where we've seen Michigan State added to that final game slot of the year. I think first off, though, all the people who maybe put some money aside to get on campus for that first Saturday in October to see Penn State play Big Bad Ohio State, maybe be at the whiteout game, I'd imagine they have some qualms this afternoon.
Well, at least they're finding out now.
Yeah,
okay. All right, at least they're finding out now, which is a big plus. But, yeah, but it does break – this is what it breaks up. It breaks up having Penn State play Michigan and Ohio State back-to-back. That's mm-hmm. the big part to me. And it gets Michigan – so, in other words, in October, you had Michigan, Ohio State back-to-back. Then a couple of weeks after that, you had Michigan State. It gets Michigan State into November. It splits up Michigan and Ohio State. I think this is a more palatable schedule for Penn State moving forward. It's got better balance to it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's really going to be interesting to see. That bye week falls a little bit early based on what we're seeing in between that Northwestern and Michigan game. You know, would you maybe like to have a bye week slipped in there somewhere with Michigan, Minnesota, and Ohio State back-to-back-to-back games? Probably would be preferable, but I mean, we'll see. Depending on how they get through those first five games, it's not really going to matter. They could be 5-0, and everyone's going to say, let's find out now, because they go to the Big House on October 15th, and they come home for back-to-back matchups, Minnesota and Ohio State, and I'm just incredibly intrigued by what Minnesota might look like this year. They haven't been able to duplicate their success of 2019, nor has Penn State, though. And when those two teams meet in October with Turk Shiraka, Tanner Morgan coming back to town, and you know, guys that we're very familiar with, and all of a sudden that's a matchup that, depending on how it goes, sandwiched in between Michigan and Ohio State, feels like it could swing the season for the Nittany Lions.
Well, yeah, the bye week is after week five. You know, it's not at the very beginning. It's not at the very end. I'm okay where the bye week happens to be, but it's completely different. All right, so now let's get to comings and goings in the transfer portal. I don't think it's any surprise that Joseph Darquard put his name in, and he will transfer out along the way. How critical, Tyler, the next 10 days to 14 days in terms of the portal?
I think it's massive for Penn State. I mean, they made a pretty significant splash in getting Western Kentucky wide receiver Mitchell Tinsley on board. I will he come in and be a plug-and-play starter? I don't know, but I think that's the mission when you go out and get a guy who had 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns at his last stop. So maybe that's someone who goes right into the starting lineup and maybe projected alongside Parker Washington. And and Keandre Lambert-Smith, but I still think you got to reinforce the trenches here. Looking at the offensive tackle position now that Rashid Walker has made his mind up about 2022, they're very thin right now at tackle, and I think a lot of the guys that we have talked about factoring in at tackle, including Landon Tengwall, you know, guard might be the focus there next year for them. So I look at the offensive tackle position, maybe the guard position again, which they got Eric Wilson out of Harvard last year. I think defensive line, though, Steve, is, you know, last year they really hit a home run with Arnold Ebiketie coming in as, you know, an all Big Ten, all American caliber edge rusher for you. And then Derek Tangelo, more unheralded, but he started every game in the regular season. Very important when P.J. Mustafer goes down. Right now, I think maybe, you know, particularly the defensive end position, can they make a move there? Linebacker depth, I think, is a bit concerning. Can you bring in a linebacker who has starting experience at the FBS or Power 5 level? There's a lot of names out there. I know last year quarterback was the hot button topic, and would Penn State add one? Right now it feels like, though, you know, quarterback is going to sort itself out with what they brought in and what they bring back. And I think the pieces around that position, the guys who are going to protect the quarterback, they need some of them. The trenches are where I'm entirely focused here, to be honest.
Yeah.
They took care of wide receiver. I thought that spot was an obvious need for them, and I think it was a really good selling point for them because of what wide receivers have done under Mike Yurcich, what Jahan Dotson just did, and their ability to spread the ball with a returning quarterback who's played a lot of football. But now, can Phil Troutwine, and can you sell this vision for this being the bridge that gets an offensive lineman from being, you know, maybe a middling draft prospect or a late-round draft prospect? Can you convince him that if he comes to Penn State, he can leave at the other end and improve his draft stock? And I think that's an important case to make, and probably harder to make right now coming off the 2021 season than selling your vision on the defensive front, because Arnold Ebiketie, you point to him and his pedigree and what he did in 1 year at Penn State. That is a really, really strong selling point.
By the way, is Adisa Isaac actually Arnold Ebiketie? In other words, In other words, the idea is like, okay, he's not the transfer portal, but he's a guy that now re-enters your lineup and changes. I mean, you can't have enough edge rushers. There's no doubt about that, because you got to rotate guys in. I mean, that's one of the issues Alabama had in their game. They couldn't rotate in enough edge rushers to go after him last night, and they finally got tired in the fourth quarter. But to me, Isaac is the kind of guy that he steps back in there, and there's the first step on your 2022 Arnold Ebiketie.
And P.J. Mustafer is going to step back in there, who they, sorely missed during the final second half of the season. He was outstanding to start his year. So to get those two guys, you obviously saw a big flash from Smith Gilbert in the first half of that Outback Bowl game. I think Nick Tarburton, really proved a lot of people wrong this year in his ability to hold up in the Big Ten. But I don't think he's that twitchy athlete off the edge. Maybe Zariah Fisher is that guy. But, yeah, you're going to need some players who can get in there and disrupt. I mean, Arnold Ebiketie, I believe, had the highest sack total without playing in a bowl in 6 years for Penn State.
Yep.
So we're talking about a serious sack artist that you have to replace. And I think Adisa Isaac, in an ideal scenario, it fills that breakout role that we thought he might fill in 2021. But coming off of his injury and just considering his lack of overall experience and being a guy who handles those kind of reps in the Big Ten trenches, I think it's a little bit, it's a little dangerous to put all your eggs in that basket.
What has the transfer portal done for your job? It's one thing to sit there and track, guys that might sign early, then track guys that might sign late. What about the portal, and what has it done actually in your job and how you have to track people?
Yeah, I mean, I think last year was within like 72 hours of Penn State's final game, we got word that John Lovett was going to pick Penn State to transfer to out of Baylor. And I mean, it just happened so quickly. And now you're seeing Michael Tinsley, announcing that he's coming to Penn State from Western Kentucky before they even play in a bowl game. So I think what it's done for me is it has blended the off season right on into the end of the season in terms of movement. Because normally you're a little out into mid-December. You're kind of coming up on the peak bowl season when you have signing day. These guys aren't going to impact your roster for maybe a couple of years, 3 years in most parts. Transfer portal, we're seeing movement happen, before Thanksgiving in some instances. We're seeing big-time prospects, big-time risers, all sorts of prospects. And it's not just, this guy was go check his recruiting profile from 2 or 3 years ago. How can you not offer the guy? You really have to get down and assess where this young athlete is in their career at 20, 21 years old. You can't cling to what they were at 17, 18 years old. And I think that's why you see a lot of prospects and players disappointed
at what the results are in the portal. And I think you kind of evaluate what Penn State did there last year and how they found their wins. They got a guy from Temple who didn't really have any kind of Power 5 sniffs coming out of high school. They had Derek Tangelo, who wanted to play at Penn State, didn't get that opportunity coming out of high school. And then, of course, you know, you just go through the list, and I think a lot of people want to match up the recruiting credentials and that. And I think that's the hardest part, is figuring out exactly where a player is at this point in their career. And when you have data, you know, in an instance where you're bringing in a receiver who had 1,400 yards last year, that's a lot easier to work off of. I think some of the names that get people excited, because maybe they're not too far removed from their signing day, those guys, when they haven't produced, even at a high Power 5 level, you know, if they're the number 7 wide receiver at Ohio State or the number 3 running back at Alabama, you don't really know what you're going to get. And you hope that they come out the other side as a peak performer like they were coming out of high school. But mentally, physically, spiritually, guys change, guys evolve, guys devolve. And I think that's probably the trickiest part. And you know, it's requiring Penn State and all these other programs across college football and people in my industry to essentially add a new department, whether it's us covering the transfer right. portal or whether it's Penn State hiring people who are basically just tracking the portal constantly and helping to evaluate and helping to make connections. And I think you know this, Steve, big kind of secret, maybe not so much of a secret anymore, is a lot of these players who end up in the portal, they've already kind of gotten an intended destination.
Right.
There are a lot of back channeling, a lot of conversations happening. So it's not necessarily a guy's tipping his toe in the water and he's completely open-minded. I think a lot of times you're fighting uphill to convince a player to maybe take a look at your program.
Yeah, no question. I mean, let's face it. There's a lot of soft tampering going on, if mm-hmm. not just blatant tampering at this point.
Yeah.
So that brings up one final question for you. You've talked to enough people, and you have to deal with this on an everyday basis. Do they have to sit down and now put together rules dealing with the portal in terms of, you know, a dead period, an open period? I mean, you know, when you can put your name in, times of the year you can do. Is there elements they need to change in this?
There probably are, and I don't necessarily, as the NCAA kind of sees its power over to the players, I don't necessarily know how they can get that power back in some capacities where you're restricting when players can announce, or if you're saying you're tied to a school for a year after you sign there. I know people are frustrated at seeing players, you know, leave their school after spending a semester and a half there, one semester there. I think there's something to be said for the free will of the athletes and being able to move. But James Franklin has mentioned this a lot. It is a very difficult thing to manage for the university and for the football coaching staff because you've got compliance involved and you've got to deal with trying to sign a recruiting class, trying to keep your recruiting class on campus for more than a year. And I think at the end of the day, what the issue is here is the NCAA opened up a bit of a Pandora's box, whether it was well-intentioned or not, creating that bonus eligibility from the NCAA a couple of years ago. So now you've got all these super seniors and guys that are going to be super seniors, and you're supposed to keep within scholarship limits. I think if there's one thing that you could change, maybe would be the scholarship limit. I don't necessarily know how that would work.
Right.
But I just can't see the transfer portal getting tremendously restrictive. I would be very curious to see if this a dead period could be pulled off. But I think there are a lot of things on the NCAA calendar that need to be reshuffled. And I think right now the transfer market is there's a lot of momentum moving in one direction. And I just don't know if the NCAA has the authority at this point to really pump the brakes on it.
I don't know if they have the authority on much. All right. to be honest with you, I mean, as time goes, I mean, you have to openly ask
right.
the question, in 5 years, do they exist? I mean, we'll see. I don't know. Hey, always a pleasure. Thanks so much, Tyler. Great insight as always.
Steve, great to talk to you. Hope to do it again soon. Take care.